Today, Shir in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Ksubos Daf Kuf Hey, and we begin the brand new 13th Perek towards the bottom of Kuf Dalud Omid Beis with the words Shnei Dayonik Zeros. So we're learning today Le'ili Nishmas Ida Small Chaya Ida Bas Isser. All the Nishans we learn for seven leave from our learning. Okay, so we begin the 13th Perek. The Mishnah starts off and tells us Shnei Dayonik Zeros Hayubi Yerushalayim. There were two judges. Tomorrow we'll discuss there really were more than two judges. But right now, the Mishnah is telling us that there were two judges that specifically judged Gezeros. Tomorrow we'll explain what exactly this means in Yerushalayim. They were Admon. We'll see in the Gemara this was Admon ben Gadai and Hanun ben Avishalom. The proper way to pronounce this, Tosus points out in several places, is Avishalom, not Avshalom, because one doesn't name after a wicked person. Shem Rishoyim Yerkov, Tosus reminds us, and Avshalom, obviously the son of David HaMelech, was not a good king, was not a good person, and we wouldn't name somebody after him, so therefore the proper girsah here should be Avishalom. So these two judges, Admon ben Gabai and Hanun ben Avishalom, we're going to learn a little bit about them in this perek, and they made various takanos and gezeros, some of which were followed by certain chachamim, others were disputed by other chachamim. So Hanun omer shnei dvarim, Hanun tells us two specific dinim, Hanun ben Avishalom, and Admon omer shiva, he tells us seven dinim. And again, Chazal argue with both Hanun and Admon, and some Chazal agreed with Hanun and Admon. So we start off with our Mishnah, with the first one of these takanos. So it tells us, Mishaholach l'mdinas hayam. Somebody went on a business trip, and he left his wife behind without support. Vishto tovas mizono. So his wife goes to the basin and says, listen, I have nothing to eat. I want to take from my husband's estate and support myself. So Hanun omer, and we turn to Kofei omer aleph. Hanun tells us that all she has to do is tishava basov. She just has to make a shvua when she collects her ksubas. Rashi tells us in the top Rashi here, kishi yishmu bo shemeis, if Rahman al-Hassan, they heard that her husband passed away, and at that point in time, v'tova ligvos ksubas, so she wants to go collect her entire ksuba, so then she'll have to swear that she didn't get anything from her husband during his lifetime. And tishava shlo ikva biyoda, Michel Bala Klum. She'll swear at that time that she didn't get anything previously. She's entitled to collect the ksuba. And when she swears at that point in time about the ksuba, she'll also swear about the mizonos that she hadn't been given any money for the mizonos. So according to Hanun, she only swears at the end. Now we had this early in the Gemara, in our Mesechta on Daf Peches Omid Beis, and the Rashis there went and explained this shita. And I read from the Rashi's there. It says, Kishis tis almain, when she becomes a widow, o tis garish, or she's divorced, and at that point in time, zvititova ksubasa, that she wants to go collect her ksuba, at that point, she will swear, which is called basov. Tishava shlo ikva biyoda mishobala klum, that she didn't have anything left from her, that she didn't have anything given to her by her husband that would not entitle to get the whole ksuba. Klomar. So we give her the mizonos now without making a shvua, and when she goes to collect the ksuba, should she become widowed or divorced, mashpinan law aksuva the e itvasot sorare limizone yavin law litsare biksuvasa. So at that point in time, we would make her swear both on the mizonos and on the ksuba, as I said. Okay. So she doesn't have to swear at the beginning, according to Hanun. In other words, she only swears when she is toveya or tovas, her ksuba, and not when she's asking for the mizonos. However, the Bnei Kaham Gedolim, they disagreed with Hanun and Amru. They said, Tishava. But Trila Ubasov, she has to swear if she wants to collect the bzonas that she didn't get anything from her husband already, and she has to swear when she wants to collect her ksubas she didn't get anything while her husband was still alive. And Amar Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkinis, Kidivrei. Rabbi Dosa ben Hirkinis agrees with the opinion of the Bnei Kohanim Gedolim. However, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Zakkai says, no, Yofi Amar Hanun, I like what Hanun ben Avishalom said. Lo tishava el basov. And I paskin that she should only make the shua when she collects a ksuba, what's called basov, and not when she collects the mizonos, which we call batchila. Okay, so this is the first machlokas that we have. Gemara starts off and tells us, really, there's only two judges, this Hanun and Admon, or many. I'll show you the following braisa that says that there were three judges. Shlosha dayanik zelos hayu yushalayim. There were three judges that judged gezelos. So the first difference that we have in our Mishnah, we said gezeros, and here we say in the braisa gezelos. So there are three of these judges mentioned in the braisa. Admon ben Gadai, that's the Admon from our Mishnah, the Chonon HaMitzri, a different Chonon than one we mentioned in our Mishnah, and Chonon ben Avishalom. So here we have a couple of problems. It says Gezelos here instead of Gezeros, and it mentions three Tanoim and not only two that the Mishnah had. So the Gemara says, obviously, Kasha plus a trade. Why does one mention three in the Braisa and our Mishnah only mentions two? And Kasha Gzeros, which we said in our Mishnah, versus Agzelos that we said here in the Braisa. Tosu switches around the order and says it really should be Kasha Agzelos, Agzeros, because the Gzelos is what's mentioned over here first in the Braisa, and that leads to the Kasha on the Mishnah. In any event, these questions are now answered by the Gemara. Not a problem. Bishlama tlosa train lokasha. The fact that it's three judges versus two judges, the Mishnah has only two, the Braisa has three, that's not a problem, because the Choshev Lake Tani. The Braisa mentions all three because all three are considered important. But our Mishnah, according to the first interpretation of Tosos, only mentions those two that we're going to be dealing with in our Perek. And we only deal with Chanon and Admon in our Perek, Chanon ben Avishalom, and not Chanon HaMitzri. So therefore, he's not mentioned, he's not considered, quote, important, not because he's not important, he in fact is important. The Braisa mentions him ahead of Chanon ben Avishalom, so the first opinion of Tosos is he's more important than Chanon ben Avishalom. This is also the opinion of Rabbeinu Tam in the previous top Tosos. Therefore, that's teretz number one, that the reason why he only mentions two in our Mishnah is because our Mishnah and our Perek is only talking about Chanon and Chanon ben Avishalom and Admon. It doesn't talk about Chanon and Mitzri, that's why he's not mentioned in our Mishnah. Whereas the Braisa, which mentions Chanon and Mitzri, is talking about Chanon and Mitzri as well. So therefore, that's the first Pshat and Tosos. The second Pshat and Tosos is more like the words actually sound. The Mishnah only mentions the two very important ones. Chanon ben Avishalom was more important than Chanon and Mitzri. And therefore, our Mishnah only mentions the important ones and not the lesser important one, Chanon HaMitzri. Now, that's problematic because why is Chanon HaMitzri mentioned first in the Braisa? So Tosos says that's a style. That's not a problem. It doesn't mean that he's more important by being mentioned first. And Tosos brings down various other examples where a more important person is mentioned last after a less important person. And doesn't mean that both of them aren't important, but he points out that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is mentioned sometimes before Rabbi Akiva. And Rabbi Akiva certainly was greater than Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And nevertheless, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah is sometimes mentioned ahead of him. Okay, so therefore, that's teretz number one, teretz number two, and Tosos. They both basically give an explanation. What does it mean, the Choshev lay? So that Mishnah only talks about those that are Choshev, either of the two Pshatim, and the Lo Choshev lay Loktani, but our Mishnah doesn't mention the third one, Chanon HaMitzri. So that's easy to understand why our Mishnah doesn't mention the third one. El Gzeros, Agzelos, Kasha. Why are you using the different terminology, Gzeros and Gzelos? Now, Tosos in the first top, Tosos, Kasha, says, don't think for a second that there really are two different groups of people over here, those that judge Gezeros and those that judge Gezelos. That doesn't make any sense for various reasons, and therefore, these are clearly the same judges. Why does one Mishnah refer to it as Gezeros and the Braisa refer to it as Gezelos? So, Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak, that's an easy answer as well. Sheyu gozrin Gezeros al Gezelos. They were making Gezeros on various thefts, on Gezelos. As we see in the following Braisa Gedetanya, if Kitmo Netia, Rashi explains, Kitmo Netia from the Gemara in Bava Kama, that we're dealing with Gavi Behema, Sheniklin Solushus HaNizak, an animal went into somebody else's property. So the Mazik's animal, Ruvain's animal, went into Shimon's property, the Nizak, the Hezika, and the animal went there and damaged Kitmo Netias, Elon. What does that mean? It uprooted a certain type of young sapling. So the question there was asked, Kamo Shomnoso, how much do you pay in damages for this sapling being uprooted? So Kitmo Netia, if Reuven's animal damaged Shimon's Netia, so Yossi Omer, Gozer Gzer Shabi Yishlaim Omrim, Netia Bashinosa Shtei Kesef, Bashtei Shonim Arba Kesef. So Yossi said that those Gozer Gzer Shabi Yishlaim, those Chachamim that were giving such decrees in Yerushalayim, and they're called Gozei Gezeros because it wasn't an exact evaluation how much damage was actually done, but this was a knas, that's a flat sum. So if the Netia was a one-year-old sapling, so then you pay Shtei Kesef, no matter how much it was worth. And if it was a two-year-old sapling, Bashtayim, so then Arba Kesef, then you'd go and pay four Kesef, four more. So therefore, these Gozei Gezeros would be telling us what the punishment is. It's not an exact financial retribution, but it's a knas. And they would say, on these types of gezelos, which lav davka is theft, but it deals with, the Miri says, any type of damage, so they were gozrei gezeros. So that's why the word gezeros and gezelos can be used somewhat interchangeably. Nadigmar says, Ramini, we ask the following, shlosha dayan gezeros hayu shalayim. Admon v'chonon, and now it says v'nochon. So it's Admon, it's this Admon ben Gadoi, that's probably the same Admon, but then it says chonon. We don't know if it's chonon ha-mitzri or chonon ben Avishalom. According to the second Pshat and Tosus, it's probably talking about chonon ben Avishalom, but lav davka. And then nochon, it introduces nochon ha-modi. So who's the author of this brisa? So I'm a Rapapa. Rapapa says, Man Tana Nochem. Who's the Tana that says that Nochem Hamadi was one of those that were the Dayone Gizderus in Yerushalayim? This is Rabbi Nosson here. This is the opinion of Rabbi Nosson. The Tanya, Rabbi Nosson Omer, Rabbi Nosson tells us, Af Nochem Hamadi, Migos Rigizderos, Yerushalayim Hoya, that there was another judge called Nochem Hamadi who was amongst those that were Gozer Gizderus in Yerushalayim. However, the rest of the Chachamim, lo hold low. They disagreed and said, no, he wasn't one of the Gozer Gizderos in Yerushalayim. Adimur asks, and really there were only a maximum of three, Besu Lekka, and not more than three. Amar Rapinchas, Rapinchas said, Amar Ravoshaya, said name Ravoshaya, that with her in fact were Shlosh Meos Vesishim Viarba Bate Dinim Hayu Yerushalayim. There were in fact 394 Bezdins Bate Dinim in Yerushalayim. And there's a machlokis whether each one of them had three judges, or like the Girsa that we have in Rashi, each one has Shel Esther and Vishlosha. Each of them was 23 judges. Some are problematic with that Girsa because there weren't that many Sanhedrin Kitana in Yerushalayim. So it's difficult to say that there would be 394 23-member Bastids. So some suggest that this is a Girsa that should be changed instead of Esther and Vishlosha, just Shlosha. In any event, there are a large number of judges, either 394 times 3 or 394 times 23. And Kinegdan, the same amount of these judges were Bati Kinesios. There were shuls. Uchenegdan Bati Midrashas. And there were yeshivas. Uchenegdan Bati Sofrim. And against that, the same number of Sofrim, of Mistama, where they learn Safra, where they learn how to write Sifri Torah, how to write down Tefillin, etc. So how can you tell me there were only three judges in all Yerushalayim? There were many, many, many more. Someone says, you're right. Dayanin Tuvavu. Yeah, there were many judges in Yerushalayim. However, not all of them were able to be Gozrei Gezeros Kamrinon. B'chi Kamrinon, that which we said in our Mishnah or in the Brisa, there were only two or three, that's talking about the Gozrei Gezeros. That there was a much smaller amount. Now, why should there be such a small amount of Gozrei Gezeros? Because you need to have a certain high level of smicha or of understanding in order to go and make these Gezeros. And obviously, only a very select few of all of these great Tamidei Chachamim had reached that high madrig. Now, Amar Yehuda, Amar Ravasi, Yehuda said, Amar Ravasi, Gozrei Gezeros Yerushalayim, Hayunotin Scharon, these judges in Yerushalayim would get paid. And how much would they get paid? Quite a bit. Tishim Vosesha Mona, 99 Mona. A Mona is 100 Zuz. So you're dealing with 99 times 100. So that's a large amount. And they took this from Yitruma Salishna. They took this from the leftover funds that were given each year of the fiscal cycle of the Beis Hamikdash, which starts Nisan 1 and ends Adar, the end of the month of Adar, whether it's Adar Rishon or Adar Sheni, it ends at the conclusion of the month of Adar. So this was the fiscal year, and there were funds left over. This is called Moser Trumas Halishka, and they would take these funds, and they would pay these judges. Now, the way they pay these judges was, well, they didn't just give the three judges all this money, the Gozrei Gezeros, but they used that to support the entire judicial system. In any event, if they didn't want to take the money, Lo Ratzu Mosif Lehem, if that seemed to be an inadequate amount of money, so then they would give them more. Where it says, what? Lo Ratzu? They didn't want to take that? What are you dealing with? Otu Rishi Askina? We're dealing with, they went on strike, they didn't feel they were being paid enough? It's very, very unlikely that these three great judges would, so to say, strike and say, we're not going to do our job unless you pay us more. So where it says, you're right, that's not what it means. Ella Lo Sofku, even if there weren't enough funds over there, and they said, okay, we'll judge, if you don't have enough funds, we'll judge even without having to take the funding. Afabisha Lo Ratzu, most even land. No, in that situation, if they needed more money to support them, so then they had to take it. The Bastin, so to say, was forced to take this. The Gozrei Gezeros were forced to take the money. That's what it means. They didn't want to take the extra money, but they needed it to support themselves in their Beti Dinim, so therefore we would be giving it to them, Mosif and Aleh. Nadigmar says, there was a judge whose name was Karna. Karna was a great Talmud Chacham. Havishokul Istira Mizakai V'Istira Mechayev. Karna didn't get paid from the Trumas Halishka, but he got paid from the two litigants. He would take a istira, which Rashi says is the sela, from each litigant. He would take it from the one that he would eventually find to be liable, and from the one that he eventually found not to be liable. V'doyin l'udina, and then he would judge the din. Now, he didn't take a bribe over here because he took it equally from both of them, but the Gemara says that that's not right. V'heichi avidachi, how could he possibly do this? V'shocha lo sikach, the pasuk says he's not going to take a bribe. Isn't this very close to a bribe? So he says, you're going to tell me, v'chitema hani mili hechad lo shoch b'tavayu. That which we said, that you're not allowed to go take a bribe, that's when you're taking it from one of them and not from both of them. But if you're taking it from both of them, so then that should be allowed. No, that's not true. The reason why you can't take it from one of them is dum lo silat slu yedinim, because you're going to go and be bribed by the shochad. However, karna, kiva the shoch b'tavayu, lo osi let slu yedina, so he's not going to come to judge incorrectly, so he took it from both of them. But nevertheless, v'chi lo osi let slu yedina, Mishari, even if it's not going to lead to coming up with the, quote, bribed or biased psak, you're still not allowed to do this. Even taking it from both litigants, an equal amount from both of them, you're not allowed to do that. Because, Vatanya, we learned in the following braisa, Bishochad lo sikach, the pasuk tells us you're not allowed to take shochad. Now, why does it have to tell me that? Matab lomer. Im lame shalol azako sasachayv lo shachayv sasaka. Even to tell us not to pervert the justice over here and find that the person who was liable was chayev, is not chayev. The shalol chayev es hazake, and not to make the one who is really innocent guilty, so that we already know. Hari kar nemar lo satem mishpa. You're not allowed to go and twist the justice. So we already know you're not allowed to go and pervert justice. So what's the point of telling me es shochad lo sikach, el afilu lezakos es hazake, el chayev es hachayev? Even if you're going to judge correctly and make the one who's supposed to win, win, and the one supposed to lose, lose, Amr Torah v'shochad l'sikach. Even there, you're not allowed to go take a dollar from each litigant. You're not allowed to go take from each of them because it says v'shochad l'sikach, period. How was Karen able to do this? Shmuel says, Hani mi'ili, that which we said you're not allowed to take an equal amount from each litigant, heichal d'shoku b'tzor v'shochad, that's when you're taking it, so to say, as a bribe in regards to the rubric of bribery. In other words, they're paying you, so to say, to make sure that you really investigate very well to make sure that each side is not getting taken for a loss incorrectly. But Karna didn't do it as a type of shochad. Karna besoris agra havishokel. He took it as a fee for adjudicating. And not that he would go and be more careful with each side, and this would be a little bit like shochad. But he just took this as, you know, listen, my fee is $100 an hour. So therefore, that's what he was taking for. Or says that can't be right either. Even to take it as a flat fee for your time, that you're not allowed to go and do. But not because we learned in the Mishnah, this is the Mishnah of Bechoros, if somebody takes money to go and judge, so dinav b'teilim, his justice is considered thrown out. It's batal, and they have to go to a new court. So you're not allowed to take money for judging, period. And you're certainly not allowed to take money from each litigant. Even if you're not going to be bribed in the pure sense, you only take it from one litigant, certainly can't take it from one litigant, can't take it from both litigants, and now they take even money to judge. So Moore says, yeah, that's true, but Karna was different. Hani mili agardina. They were paying him for the judgment. However, Karna, they were paying him for unemployment. Agar b'teila habishoko. He wasn't being paid to judge, he was being paid for the wages that he lost by spending time in his judgment. So he had a steady job, and therefore he had to leave his steady job and go and judge the case. So he was entitled to compensation when he makes for a steady job. Moreh still says that's not good. Are you allowed to get paid for not working? In other words, can you get unemployment benefits over here? For Tanya, we learn another braisa. It says, Mechur hadayin shenoto schar lodun. A judge who goes and judges and takes money for judging, it's disgusting, it's mechur. Ella Shadino did. Now, it is, however, a valid justice if he judged. Now, it's not nice, it's disgusting, but his din isn't thrown out. Now, what are we talking about? Hechidami, Ilema Agardino, if he just took money to judge, we just said, Dino din? It can't be. His din is not a din. But Tanya, I know to Schawa Adun Dino B'Taylor. We just said a moment ago that if you get paid for judging, so your din isn't a good din. So how can you tell me that this case is where he got paid for judging? Obviously, it must be Ella Agar B'Teila. He was being paid unemployment. And yet, nevertheless, it still says, Ketani Mechora Dayan, it's disgusting, and you shouldn't do such a thing. So how could Karna do this? We're left with our original question. How could Karna take money from each litigant? Samora says, no. When do we say you're not allowed to take unemployment? That's when you don't have a steady job. So therefore, how can they say they're paying you for being unemployed, that you're not doing your work right now? You didn't have any work to do. So that would be called getting paid for judging. That's not allowed. However, what did Karna have? Karna had a very steady job. Karna was well known for his job, as we'll see in a moment. And therefore, if he's not working 9 to 5, but instead has to go judge, he's losing out on his regular 9 to 5 job. And therefore, you're paying him for that loss from his job. What did Karna do that he had a steady job? David Tohi Ba'ambra Dechamra. Now, Rashi understands Tohi Ba'ambra Dechamra means that he was Meiriach Biotsaros Yayin. He was able to smell the barrels of wine. Ezer Roy Liskayim Vakor Liskalkal. He was able to tell from sniffing which ones would last for a while and which ones would spoil in the near future. The ones that would spoil in the near future, you better drink right now. You better sell them right now. Yemcheru Miyad. And he had such an expert sense of smell that he was constantly in demand, and he was well known that he's always busy. He had like a waiting list of people who wanted to hire him. The Aruch says a little bit differently than Rashi, not that he smelled, but he tasted it. He was able to tell from the taste which would spoil fast and which would spoil over a much longer period of time. Same idea as Rashi, just the mechanism was a little bit different, smelling versus tasting. And the bottom line is, so he had a lot of jobs available to him, so therefore this is something that was recognized that if he was judging, he was really losing out. So you're allowed to pay a person like Karna, Davi Toy, Biambra, Dechaimra, Piovale Zuza, so they're allowed to go and pay him. That's what he would charge, a Zuz, for this smelling or tasting to say whether the wine would spoil soon or would last for a long time. So that he was entitled to take payment for when he judged because he was keeping away from his regular job. And I'll show you that this is right, the Gemara says, because the same thing happened with Rav Huna. You know the Rav Huna. What happened with Rav Huna? Kabi Yossi Dina Lekamei, when they would bring a case in front of Rav Huna to judge. So he said, listen, I'd be happy to do this. I'm a little bit. He'd say to both of the two parties that were coming to him to judge, Havuli Gabra, the Dali Le Bechari Kai, go and irrigate my field. Either you do it, or go get a person to go. Havuli Gabra, give me a person, hire for me a person that will go and irrigate my field, the Dali Le Bechari Kai, that will go and water my field in place of me, because I normally would be doing that. If you want me to sit and judge you, you're concerned, hey, but you go water my field. And meanwhile, while this guy's watering my field on your behalf, he'll pay his salary, he'll water my field, I'll judge the case for you. So in a situation like that, it is permitted to go and get some compensation, really for unemployment, that you had a steady job, so that you're allowed to go take payment for. That Gemara goes off on a little bit of a sidebar, telling us how bad it is to go and take bribes. Shochad lo sikoch. Amar Rabbi Yavor, Rabbi Yavor says, Bore kama simuyo se neyem shel mekabli shochad. Look how terrible are the people that go and take a bribe, how they pervert justice. Because a person, adam chosh b'ein, if a person, let's say, has a little trouble with his eyes and he can't see so well, or he has pain in his eye, so no se mamal rofi, he goes to the ophthalmologist, and the ophthalmologist will treat him. No, he pays a lot of money to the ophthalmologist to go treat him, but he's not sure if he'll be healed or not. Only Kodesh Baruch Hu is the Rofei Chole Amo Yisrael. The regular doctor may or may not be successful. Sofik Misrapi, Sofik Eno Misrapi. The regular doctor, you go to the ophthalmologist, maybe he'll cure your eye pain, your eye problem, maybe he won't. And yet, they're willing to pay him a lot of money for this. No Si Mamul Rofei, the people are willing to pay this. So here, how could you be so stupid as to take a bribe? Because this bribe is going to blind you. They note and shove the proof that they take a small amount for a bribe, and they go and blind themselves. As the pasuk says, "Ki ha-shochad yaver pichim," that shochad makes even the wisest of people blind, as we'll see from upcoming stories in the Gemara right now. So the Braisa tells us that shochad, taking bribes, can blind even the eyes of the chachamim, and kal v'chomer l'tipshim, and certainly to the tipshim, the people that are foolish. And it also, v'salid derei tzadikim, it will go and cause the tzadikim to go off the path, it will cause them to go crooked, it will cause them to pervert justice, and certainly, if even tzadikim, this will happen to kavachom l'rishoyim, certainly it will happen to the rishoyim. Where it says, midei tipshin rishoyim b'nei dina ninu, that implies that there are justices that are stupid, and justices that are, in fact, inappropriate, they're tipshin and rishoyim, is that really true? So that doesn't make any sense. So that can't be the way you dash this brisa. This is what the brisa is really telling us. Shochad will blind even the wisest of men. Afilu chacham gadol. Even if he's a great tam chacham, he takes a bribe. Eino niftar bin olam below samius aleid. He will not leave this world before he becomes blinded in a certain way. Lav dafka blinded in his eyes, but he'll have blindness of his heart. In other words, it's going to turn him into a bad person. What does that part of the pasuk mean? That it causes a perversion of justice, that tzaddikim won't judge properly. We turn to kufei amid beis. This pasuk means Afilu tzaddik gomer, even if he's a great tzaddik, a complete tzaddik, but he takes a bribe, lokeach shochad, eino niftar min ha'olam b'lo tiruv das. Even such a great tzaddik, who unfortunately takes a bribe, will not leave this world without coming, unfortunately, delirious. He'll become tiruv das. He'll suffer a tremendous inability to judge properly. His mind won't work properly. Mark continues, says, Kosov Dimi, when Dimi came from Israel to Babel, he said, Omar, Dorish Rav Nachman Bar Kohen. Rav Nachman, who is Bar Kohen, the stubby is the son of a Kohen. Sometimes Bar means the name of the person of their father, and sometimes it means their type of job. So he was a Kohen. So Rav Nachman Bar Kohen, what does it mean? When the Pasuk says, Melech b'mishpot yamid oretz v'ish terumos yersena, means a king will be able to judge properly and lift the whole world up. Yamid Eretz will support the world. However, Vish Trumos, a person who is getting gifts, so he's going to destroy the world. What does this mean? So, Imdal Medayel Melech, if your judge is like a king, in what way? Sheino Tzorach L'chlum. King doesn't need anything. He has everything. So if your Dayan doesn't need anything or doesn't have any potential for being bribed, so then, Yamid Eretz. So then, the world will be standing upright. The whole world will be supported by such a judge. However, Imdal Melech Kohen, but the judge is like a Kohen. What does it mean like a Kohen? Shemachaz al-Agronus, the Kohen is always looking for Truma, so he stays by the granaries, and he goes and says, no, you have any Truma? You have any Truma? So such a person, Yerusalem, he's going to Nebuch, a judge who's in dire need of money, he's easily able to be bribed, because everybody knows that he needs money, so then he's going to destroy the world. Amar Rabba Barav Shilo, Rabba Barav Shilo said, Hai Dayana, this judge, the Shaul Shilasa, who's constantly asked people to borrow things from them, Pasul Lemeidan Dina, is not allowed to go judge for those people because he's in debt to them. And so if he's judging a case between Reuven and Shimon, and Reuven kept on lending him stuff, so he's going to side like Reuven. Now, the law of Mara, this is only true that he's not allowed to be a judge if he borrows things from people if he never lends anything to everybody else. However, Abul Islay Lishule, he's a wealthy person, and he has the ability to go lend to other people. So yeah, he borrows sometimes, but he lends sometimes. So in that situation, less lumpa. Then there's no problem with the judge having borrowed some things from some people. That doesn't mean that he's impoverished and he'll be easily bribed. It means, no, it's part of life. Then you sometimes you lend somebody something, sometimes you borrow something, sometimes you give something. So therefore, it's not a problem. Where it really questions this and says, really, Ini? Now, Rava was a big Dayan, and he took things from the family of Bar Meryon, and nevertheless, he never gave them anything. So, how can you tell me that he can be a judge for Bar Meryon? Mar says, no. Hasam lach shuvinu hu the boy. There, by him taking something from the Bar Meryon family, so he's basically lifting them up. If Rava takes your gift, Rava was the head of Nardai, and if Rava accepted a gift from you, that wasn't because Rava needed the gift, that was because he wanted to give you honor by accepting his gift. If the president or the king or the leader of a country takes a gift from me, well, I'm the one that gets honored by doing that. He doesn't need my little gift, but he's giving me tremendous honor. So too, Rava gave the Bar Meryon family tremendous honor, and therefore there was no problem in him being a judge. Amar Rava, Rava said further, my time of the Shochta, what does it exactly mean, Shochad? What's the source of this word, and what exactly does it do? So, Kivin de Kavale, Shochta Mine, when the judge takes Shochad from one of the litigants, Ikrovale, Daite Ligabe, he becomes close to that person. He, all of a sudden, sees everything from that person's eyes. Vavi Kegufe, he becomes like one with that person, and Vein Odom Roa, Chova li'atzmo. A person can't see his own blemishes. So therefore, he can't see what he may have done wrong. And therefore, the judge is blinded because of the shochad that he took. It doesn't see anything that litigant did as being wrong. And that's what the word shochad means. My shochad, the word shochad is a nutricone, so to say, for shehu chad, meaning you become one with the litigant that you accepted the bribe from. Shochad is shehu chad. You and he are now one together. So a person doesn't see this lack of clarity in the person's side in his litigation, he doesn't see any of the errors in it, and he only sees good things in it, and therefore he's going to judge incorrectly. Rav Papa teaches another idea. A person shouldn't judge somebody who he's friendly with, who he likes. And likewise, he shouldn't judge someone who he doesn't like, who he hates. Why? Because the rachim le, if the person who you're judging is somebody that you like, lo chazi le'chova. You're not going to see anything that he does wrong because he's your friend. And if it's somebody that you hate, it's Sani Le, so you're not allowed to judge him because Lo Chazi Le Zechusi. You're not going to see anything that he actually has right. You're only going to see the negative and not see the positives. Amar Baye, Baye is, he says, Haitzur ben Rabbanon, a young Talmud Chacham, the Merachim Le B'nei Mosa, and the people in his town like him a lot, so don't think, Lav Mishum de B'male Tvei, don't think it's because he's such a great Talmud Chacham. Ella, the reason why they like him is because they don't give him mussar. Ella mishum de lo muchach lo b'mila d'shmaya. He doesn't constantly tell him you're doing something wrong. Everybody likes their rabbi. If the rabbi is just a nice guy, he says a nice vort every now and then, and lets them talk in shul, and lets them cheat, and lets them do all sorts of other averas. The rabbi is constantly rebuking them, saying, hey, you can't do this. Hey, you got to stop doing this, so he's not going to be the most popular guy in town. So Abaye said, if the rabbi is the most popular guy in town, so Mustami's not doing his job. He didn't give enough mussar. Rava adds to this. I'm a Rava. He says, "Merei Shavamina." Originally, I thought Hani Ben Mechuza. Rava was the Rava in Mechuza, and he said, "I thought the people in Mechuza kulu rachmali. I thought they all liked me. However, kiven davay dayona. But then once they came, their judge, and I judged them. So I thought minayu sonuli uminayu rachmali. I thought some of them hated me. The ones that I paskin against, they hated me, and the ones that I paskin in favor of, they all liked me. However, kiven dechazoy. When I saw." I saw that over the years and over time, so the person, Reuven, that I found innocent in this case, so I found him to be the victor in the litigation. In this case, in the next case, he lost. So the first case, he got paid. In the second case, he had to pay out. And vice versa for all the other people in the town. So as soon as I saw that sometimes they would win and sometimes they would lose, so Amina, I then said, if they like me, it's because they like me. And if they don't like me, it's because they don't like me. Amina, im rachim kulu rachmuli. If they like me, so doesn't they? It's because they like me. And if they don't like me, it's because they don't like me. But it has nothing to do with the justice that I provide. Again, we're darshing in the pasuk that says you're not allowed to take bribes. It doesn't have to tell me that you're not allowed to take monetary bribes. Of course you're not. But you're not even allowed to go and take bribes with words. Elafilu shochad devarim nam yoser. Not even to take a bribe of words are you allowed to take. It doesn't say lo sikach betza. Ella lo sikach shochad. It doesn't say betza lo sikach. It says shochad lo sikach, which implies not only money but even words. And what are examples of a bribe of words? So heichidami shochad dvarim. The Gemara asks, what exactly do you mean by a bribe of words? So the following, we'll give a whole bunch of the different examples. Kihod Shmuel. One time Shmuel have a avad b'mavir was crossing over a bridge. Mavir is a bridge. And also gavra yov leyadei. Along comes a man and he sticks out his hand to help Shmuel crossed the bridge. Their bridges weren't big, sturdy structures like ours. They were like a rickety plank type of a fence that you have to hold on to the side and hope it didn't get too rickety and you fall off. So this guy helped them out. So Shmuel said, Yoshakaya, thank you. Amalei said to him, Maya Vitatechnu, what are you doing here in this town? So Amalei said, the guy told Shmuel, I came to have you judge a case for me. Dino, honestly. I was going to bring a case of litigation in front of you. So Shmuel said, sorry, Charlie, I can't do it anymore. Amalei, psil naloch ledina. I'm no longer able to go and judge your case because by your helping me cross this bridge and giving me a hand, so I'm indebted to you. Not a financial debt, but you did me a taiva over here, so therefore I'm going to see your side of the case. That's like taking shochad, that's called shochad devarim. Another example, Amemer Havi Yosef Kodoyin Dina. Amemer once was sitting ready to judge a case, and Parach Gadfa Areshe. And a Gadfa, there's two ways to translate this. Some translate this as a feather, and some translate this as a wing. Somehow, the wing of a bird came upon his head. Parach Gadfa Areshe. Nu Osau Gavra, a guy gets up from the courtroom, and Shaklein removes this feather or this wing from the head of Amemer. So Amemer says, Nu, what are you doing in town? Thank you. Amalei, Maya Vitech, what are you doing here? So Amalei says, listen, I was coming to your courthouse to go and have you judge a case for me. Dina, Isli, and I was hoping you'd be able to judge this case for me. So he said, sorry, Charlie, I can't. Amalei, psil naloch ledina. By your removing this feather or this wing from my head, so I'm now possibly Avis. Again, this is Shochad Devarim. Another example, Marukva Havishte Ruko Kameh. Marukva was once walking, and there was some disgusting spittle in front of him. So along comes a guy and covers it up, so he shouldn't have to see this. Also, Algabra Kasi. Along comes a certain man and covers up this spittle, this disgusting roke that Marukva shouldn't have to see it. So Marukva says, Yashishkayach to him. He says, Amalei, nu, maya veritech. What are you doing around here? So Amalei says, Dina Isli. I was coming to have a case of litigation resolved in your court. So Marukva says, sorry again. Amalei, psil no lecho ledina. I can't judge this case here because this is Shochad Dvarim. Another example. Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi once had an aris, a sharecropper, that was a regular by him on Erev Shabbos, and would give him kanto de peri. Rashi explains that kanto de peri is basically the week's worth of produce that he was owed as sharecropping fee. Sal peros miparde shel Rabbi Shmuel. So he was Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi's sharecropper. So each week he would bring him the basket of fruits that was his share, right? Let's say the sharecropper had a 50-50 arrangement with Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi. So the sharecropper kept 50% of the crops, and he would give Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi the other 50%. No, he would do this every Erev Shabbos. Ma'ale de Shabbat. Erev Shabbos he would bring this pie. One time, however, he brought it on Thursday. Yom Echad, one day, Isolei b'chamisho b'shabbat. He brought it to him on Thursday. That was very strange. So Rabbi Shmuel asked him, why Thursday? Amalei, ma'ishno yidno, why is today different than every week? Normally you bring it on Friday. Why did you bring it today on Thursday? Now, just as a remembrance, we had earlier in Masechta Yevamos, that Mondays and Thursdays were the days that the courts would meet. And people would come from the surrounding areas, and they would go to court on Monday and Thursday. So this sharecropper said, listen, I have to come to court on Thursday, so I figured I'm coming into town any one Thursday, I'll bring you your sharecropping produce that you're entitled to. So when Rabbi Shmuel asked him, Alei, Maishno Idna, why did you come today? So Amalei, so this sharecropper told him, Dina, yes, they have to come into court to be judged. So therefore, Vamina, I said to myself, Agav Urche, while I'm coming in already, I say Leilamar, instead of having to make a separate trip on Friday, I'll come in once on Thursday, bring you the normal basket of fruits that I give you that's your due. It's not a bribe. This is what you're entitled to. I was going to bring it to you tomorrow. Instead, I'll bring it to you today. And I figured I'm here anyway, I'll have you judge the case. Now, that implies that if he had brought it on Friday, he would be allowed to judge the case. So I think this is talking about where the other party said it's not a problem. If the other party said, I think it's a problem, so he would have to recuse himself. So Gemara also talks about that. We won't go into a deeper detail for now. But the bottom line is, Rabbi Shmuel said, I'm sorry, I can't judge this case for you, and I can't even take this sharecropper's food from you. Lo kibumine. He didn't want to take it from him because he said, now it looks like it's a bribe. And even if the judge doesn't adjudicate the case, he can't take the bribe. So Amalei, Psilin Choladina, he said, I am possible to be your diet. So he says, Osiv Zuzo de Rabbanon. So he got two other Rabbanon, and still we got three, and it's just mentioning two others here. Zuzo, Rashi says, means a Zug. He brings another pair of rabbis in to judge the case. They're called Dainun Le, and they judge the case. No, meanwhile, Rabbi Shmuel Yossi sits in and to hear how they're doing. Badi, the cause of us, he knew, while they're going back and forth in the shackle of the tiger of the case. So Rabbi Shmuel Bar Yossi is listening carefully, and he says, "Oh, Iboy Toinochi." He says, "If my sharecropper were to taina this, it'd be a great taina. Iboy Toinochi, and if he wants to daish in this way, that would be a great taina also." In other words, he was thinking along with the sharecropper what would be the best way to win this case. Now he wasn't impartial, even though he didn't accept his bribe, which was his own money. Nevertheless, he saw how much it influenced his thinking on the case, and when he realized that, he said, "Omar, Tebach Nafshon." There. Nefesh of these people should be blown up. It should swell up. Tevach nafshon shemakabli shochad. For those people, those judges that accept the bribe. Because look at what happened over here. Umani, I, shalomatati. I didn't take the bribe. I said, no, I won't judge the case. And even if I had taken it, it was my own money. Dimnotati, shalinotati. He didn't really do me a favor. He just gave me what was my due. And nevertheless, kach, look how much I was influenced and wanted to argue his case for him. So certainly, if I'd really taken a real case of bribery, look how much more they would actually be influenced if it really was a bribe. Another maisa, Rishmo Bar Elisha was a Kohen. Isolate how God were racious, I guess. So there was a person that brought him racious, I guess. Racious, I guess, is one of the 24 matnas kahuna when you shear animals. So if they make a certain amount, so you have to give a 60th. Rashi brings down that this is the amount that you go give for racious, I guess. The whole shana shigozes osin chayv litin lekohen echad mishishim. For all the shearings that you do, once you hit a certain amount of shearings, so you have to give 1/60th of that to the kohen. Okay. In any event, this is one of the 24 matnas kahuna. So Amalei, so Rishmuel Bar Elisha said to this person, "Where are you from? I don't know you. Heichanat, where are you from?" So Amalei, so he told him, "Miduch plan." Duch plan means such and such a place. Miduch means a place. Plan means such and such. So such and such a place. Now, so Rishmuel was surprised that that's a long distance away. What, I'm the first Kohen that you encountered? Why'd you wait to give me the rashis, I guess? You could have probably given it to a lot of other Kohanim on the way. So the man said, so yeah, Dina is there. I was coming to you for court, so I figured I'd give you the rashis, I guess, as well. Bamina, I said, Agav Urcha, since I'm coming here anyway, I see Lelamar, I'll give it to you. Now, obviously, this wouldn't be allowed. So, Amalei. So, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Elisha says to him, so, Pesim Loch Ladina, of course I would be allowed to judge the case for you. And therefore, Lo Kabu Minei, well, it's going to take the racist against, as they pointed out. Even if you don't take it as a bribe, you're not allowed to take it, period, once it's offered as a bribe. So, Osef Le Zuga de Rabbanan. Here, we have the Girsa Zuga. Before, we had the Girsa Zuza. Some changed it around before, but anyway, that means the same thing. He instead put a pair of Rabbanan in to judge the case. Mistam again, there were three altogether. And they judged the case. And knew Rabbi Shmuel Bar Elisha sat in. No, Bahadi the Kaazal, we all say during the Shaka Bataya, during the back and forth of the litigation. So every time they made a certain taina, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Elisha said what he would have tainted for this person who had brought him the races, I guess. E boy, ton hochi. He said, oh, if he judges this way, you should say that. If he goes that way, you should say this. And then he realized how much he was influenced. He said, Tebach nafshu shubakali shokhat. Again, the souls of such people should be blown up. They should be swollen up because they took shokhat. He says, look at myself. I didn't take the shokhat. And even if I had taken it, I was entitled to it. I'm a Kohen. I'm not allowed to get racist, I guess. Nevertheless, kach, look how much I was influenced to go and try to have him win the case. So certainly, makam shochad, those that take a real bribe, Allah has kan v'kama, they're going to be influenced. And therefore, that's why Chazal, the Torah, tell us you can't take bribes under any circumstances that it's even in Duraiso, Durabanan, you can't take bribes under any circumstances. Now we have the final story of the day. Rav Anan, he was a great, great Talmud Chacham. We had him previously in the Masechta as well, and he had regular learning sessions with Eliyahu Hanavi, and he had Gilui Eliyahu. In any event, Rav Anan, Aislei Hau Gabra, Kanto de Gildone de Ve Gile. So Rashi elsewhere tells us that this is Dogim Kitanim, Maud, very small fish, Umetsuyim Bein Hakanim Ba'agam, and they're found amongst the reeds in the swamp. So this person brought to Rav Anan a basket of these little fish. On my leg, Rav Anan said, no, what's this for? My Vidatech, what are you doing here? Why are you giving me these fish? So my Dinasli, he says, I have a case to be judged by you, and I said, I'll bring you the fish at the same time. Lo Kalminis, obviously Rav Anan didn't accept this. He says, Shokhad Lo Sikach. So Rav Anan tells him, Amalei, Psim, Loch Ladina, I can't judge the case you, and I can't take the fish from you. Amalei, so the person said, I wasn't interested in you judging the case for me. Dina Demalobin, and I wasn't asking you to judge the case for me. I was going to go to some other court in town. Kabuli, the Kabul Mar, but I wanted to give you the fish because you're a great Talmud Chacham. The Lo Leminon Mar Miakruve Bikurim. And I don't want you not to accept it because then you prevent me from giving you Bikurim. Now, there's only one problem over here, that he wasn't a Kohen. Rav Anan wasn't a Kohen. So what are we talking about? So the Gemara says it's not talking about giving Bikurim to a Kohen here, it's talking about giving a Talmud Chacham a present. Not because he's going to adjudicate for you, just to give a Talmud Chacham a present. The Tani, we learn the following Brisa. It says in regards to Elisha, B'ish bo mi Baal Shalisha, a man came from a certain place known as Baal Shalisha, Vayav Elisha Lokim, Lechem Bikurim, Esrim, Lechem, Sa'orim V'chamo B'tziklono. And he brought as a present to Elisha, Elisha's the Isha Lokim that we're talking about in this Pasuk. He brings him Bikurim. Now, Bikurim doesn't literally mean that it was real Bikurim, but he brought him 20 breads that were made out of Sa'orim, and he also brought him grain, the Charmel, B'tziklono, that was in the sheaves still. So, this is the present that Elisha got. Now, Elisha was not a Kohen. As Rashi points out, he was from Shevet God. And therefore, V'chi Elisha, Ocha Bikurim Hava, how could he possibly eat Bikurim? Number one, he wasn't a Kohen. Number two, he wasn't in Yerushalayim. So obviously, it's teaching us a din. El loma lucha to teach us the following. Maybe dor la tamu chacham ki ilu makriv bikurim. If somebody brings a nice present to a tamu chacham, it's as if he's bringing makriv bikurim. Today we can't bring bikurim, so if you want to fulfill the mitzvah bikurim, so give your rebbe a present. Go give your local rav, a person who's in need of a present, go give them a present. Right? So it says, normally we say that Soni Matar Tziyachia, but sometimes the Rav is in need. So if the Rav is in need, so give him a present. And this way, it's as if you're giving Bikur. So, Nu Amalei, Rav Anan tells that this person wanted to give him this basket full of fish. Says, Kibuli lo ba'inan de kubal. I normally wouldn't be allowed to take this because even if it's not as a bribe, it was potentially intended as a bribe, even if I'm not going to judge the case, I can't take it. However, in your case, since you're doing it l'shem shamayim, you just want to give a Talmud Chacham a present, ashtu yamisli taima mikablina. So I will accept it. No, and I'll make sure that your case gets adjudicated properly by somebody else. So Shadri to come with Rav Nachman, he sent him to the great court of Rav Nachman. We mentioned Rav Nachman many times as being the head judge, the Supreme Court judge, and he sent the case to Rav Anan. To Rav Anan sent it to Rav Nachman, and Shalach Lei, he sent him with the following message. Please judge this case. Why am I sending you a case from my court to your court? What? We're too busy here? No. It's just I'm impossible to judge him. I can't judge him, so please you judge the case. Rav Nachman, however, thought that he was a relative, and that's why Rav Anan couldn't judge the case. So I might be the Shalach Li Hachi. And the fact that he's sending me a case, the only reason he was sending me a case, Mr. Omer, is because he's possibly Eidus, because possibly dying, because he's a relative. Shemami no, the Kravihu. He misunderstood and thought that that's why Rav Anan was possible. Now, Rav Anan didn't tell him why the real reason was, and Rav Anan is going to be held a little bit accountable for that. Because Havakarim Dina Diyasmi Kamei, Rav Nachman was about to start a case with orphans. He hadn't yet started it, so there's no problem in stopping it because he hadn't yet started it. And I'm going to return to Kuf Vavim and Aleph. If I go and judge the orphans, I'm fulfilling an assay, high assay. If I judge the case that Rav Anan had sent me from his relative, or what he thought was a relative, this is also a mitzvah assay. However, assay the Kavod Torah Adim. But if I judge this case of Rav Anan's relative, so either it's a Daraisa or the Rabbanin, post can talk different opinions what it is. Some even say it's not necessarily even a mitzvah, but in any event, I'm giving Kavod la Torah. So therefore, it's preferable for me not to judge the case which I haven't yet started, which I was about to go start with the Yisomim. I'll push that one back an hour, and now I'll judge the case that Rav Anan had sent me. So Salke Ledino Diasme, he pushed aside the din Torah that he was doing with the orphans, the Achse Ledine, and he instead took the person that Rav Anan had sent. Now, the litigant that was the guy that brought the fish to Rav Anan, so that litigant, he sees the cover that the one who brought the fish to Rav Anan was getting, given the chaza baldina yikara, the call ovidly, he sees how they're treating him, they jump to the head of the line, so istatim tanose, he was a goner. He couldn't argue properly, he was so stuffed up. He was istatim, we find like the sitmum plishtim, the plishtim plugged up the wells, and this person wasn't able to go and argue his case properly in the Beis Din of Rav Nachman. Rav Anan caused this somewhat perversion of justice to occur because the litigant of the guy that brought the fish to Rav Anan couldn't argue his case properly. So Rav Anan is held accountable, as great a tzaddik as he was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu judges him b'chut asayra, and Rav Anan habirogel elio dosi gabei. As I mentioned previously, Rav Anan was zocha the gilui elio. He had a regular chavrusa, regular meetings with Eliyahu Navi. The Habib Masti Le Seder Eliyahu. And in fact, Eliyahu Navi taught him what is known as Seder Eliyahu. This is usually referred to as the Tana de Eliyahu. There is an opinion that says there was a Tana whose name was Eliyahu who taught these prices, but the more commonly accepted idea, as you can see from our Gemara here, is that Eliyahu Navi taught these dinim, these Seder Mishnayis, to Rabbanan. And you see, he taught it to him in two parts. First, before the story, which was the majority, 4/5 of the dinim that he was teaching him, and only 1/5 afterwards. So, what happened over here? Kivan de Ovid Hochi, after Rav Anan had caused this slight perversion of justice, his stalik, so Eliyahu left him. Rav Anan was very upset. Yosef Tanis, so he sat in fasting, Ubay Rachmani, Daman to Akosh Baruch Hu, pleased to return Eliyahu to him as a chabrusa to teach him dinim. Also, so Eliyahu comes back. However, he's scaring him now. He also have him modestly by Usse. So Eliyahu is somewhat still upset, I guess, at what Rav Anan did on the high level of Rav Anan. What he'd done was somehow wrong, and he came back and he terrified Rav Anan, and he had to set up like a box for Ovad Tevusa. He put up a chest of some sort, the Yosef Kamei, and he sat in it so he didn't have to look at Eliyahu because he was scared of Eliyahu, but he still wanted to learn from Eliyahu. So Ada Abit Le Sidre, and he finished off learning the Tanav Eliyahu. Now, Tosus points out that he learned 4/5 of it before this Maisa and 1/5 of it after the Maisa. And therefore, one section was much larger than the other section. Behind the Amre, that's why people say, this was the popular expression, Seder de Eliyahu Rabba, Seder Eliyahu Zuta. That's why they divided up this type of Torah de Eliyahu, this series of brises. It was known as the two sections. One section was Eliyahu Rabba, and one section was Eliyahu Zuta. This alluded to the idea that they were taught to Rav Anan at two separate times. Fascinating stories. We'll continue Mitzvah Shem tomorrow, but with this we conclude today's share.